North Rock Podcast.
Oh, how's everybody doing this morning? I know you told him, all right, good. How are we doing this morning? Doing great, right? How many guys like me are excited to be in church today? Is there any place better than a Sunday morning at church? Look at that. Let me think about that for a minute. Right? If there is, I want to know about it, because this is seriously, maybe that's how I became a pastor, but this is serious the place that I love to be more than any place else. It's being in God's presence. It's being reminded of who I really am because of who he says that I am, right? That's why we're here. That's what we're here to do. And over the past several weeks, we've been talking about what we call family matters. We've been talking about what does it mean to be the local church? What are the inherent rights and privileges, but what also, along with that, are the habits and the behaviors that are expected of a community of faith, right? So before we kind of dive into that, I wanted to just pray, and then let's dive into God's word today and see what he might have for us, all right? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come, to be encouraged by your word, Lord, to be reminded that sometimes our souls get downcast and that we need to speak life to them, Lord, that we need to be a people who, as David did, said, oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Lord, help us to live a life that's full of worship. And as we go about worshiping you, Lord, you fill us with your love. And then today, Lord, we're talking about what we're supposed to do with all of your love that you entrust to us. Lord, we bless you and we thank you. Speak to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. So we've been talking for the last several weeks about what it means to be the family of God, right? We've talked about the fact that as a family, we have been given an inheritance. How many of you guys like inheritances, right? How many of you guys have ever been on the upside of an inheritance? Yeah? Downside, not so good. Upside, pretty good, right? Yeah, we have been given an inheritance, and that inheritance really is the greatest love story ever told. And really, that is what the church is. When you boil it down to the very essence, we are the stewards, we are the faces, we are the flesh of the greatest love story that's ever been told. That Jesus came and died on a cross so that we, you, me, and everyone we meet has an opportunity to live in relationship with God. Is there a better love story than that? I don't think that there is. Yeah, at least I haven't found one, okay? So again, as part of that, we talked about that we're supposed to bear the resemblance of our Father in heaven, right? That is what it means to be part of his family, that he's kind of expressed his supernatural DNA into our lives. And that when we worship, we look and act and live a more expressive, what I would call a depiction of God's face in this world, okay? So living a life of worship, we talked about the need as the church to live out loud. Turn to somebody and say, live out loud. Now the other half of you turn to the other person and say, live out loud. Live out loud. Right? We are called to live out loud a life of worship, to live out loud a life of love, right? And when we talked about worship, we talked about we grow in our ability to live out loud in worship, okay, when we seek God's empowering presence, right? How many of you guys are thankful that God gave us the Holy Spirit, gave us his word, and gave us a church to help us walk this thing out on earth, right? I mean, God, without that, I'd be a cooked duck, right? There's just no way you can do this stuff, right? We talked about these verses coming from the great commandment, right? The greatest of all commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's what worship is, right? We love him above everything else in our life. And when we live life that way, we're protected. We have boundaries. We have an opportunity to live out a life that's different than maybe what we see going on around us all the time, right? How many of you guys know in the scriptures, there's a lot to talk about not bowing down to idols, right? And we don't live in a culture where there's these big idols that we're walking down the street and they're like, hey, dude, you have to bow down to that thing, right? That's not the culture that we're a part of. But how many of you guys know our culture has idols? Our culture has things that scream for our attention, that scream for our affection, that scream for us to say, maybe I'm not going to live a life of worship. I would rather have whatever it is, right? So again, part of the church's job is for us to create habits of faith that help us grow in worship, okay? So seeking God's empowering presence, practicing God-exalting worship. How many of you guys love that we've got a worship team that in my opinion, rocks pretty good? I mean, they are not boring, right? I mean, they are accomplished at what they do, and maybe I just think that because I can't sing a lick, okay? And every time I try to sing here, people move down. So you notice nobody sits next to the preacher when we're worshiping? That's why, because I'm practicing, man. I'm learning how to worship God. And for me, one of those areas that I need to always be submitting to the Lord in is my desire for competition, right? You guys know I'm a sports fan. I'm a football coach. I kind of get those things. And when I watch the Bronco game, I scream loud, right? And when I coach at North Glen High School, I scream loud, right, Cole? I'm passionate about that thing. And how many of you guys agree with me today that we need passion in the church? And we don't want to be a people who zombie walk through life just going, oh, I have to be good for God. Come be a part of my church. Right? That's not who we're created to be. We're created to worship God. Amen? So we talked about that, and that was built off of the verse that I just told you, but we're also called to live out loud a life of love. Okay? That when all we do is worship and we don't genuinely love people in our lives, that we become prone to some of the criticisms of the church, right? We talked about one of the biggest ones is that, oh, well, the church is just full of hypocrites. All those hypocrites standing sitting out there reading the Word of God and worshiping God, right? How many of you guys have ever met someone with a religious spirit? Don't look at them. Don't look at them. They might be here. I don't know. Don't look at them, right? Really, a spirit of legalism, a spirit of religiosity, that's addressing, right? A hypocrite is somebody who says one thing but won't lift a finger to help, right? Says God loves you, but sorry. Bank's closed. Right? Pull down the teller sign, okay? How many of you guys want to be known for our love as a church? In fact, I want that to be so much that I feel like the Lord's kind of giving me a vision. That, can you guys put up our, not the picture of Pawpaw and Meemaw, and really I have no idea who those people are. But can you put up our logo there, Sean? So when I think, and as I accepted this assignment on my life and came back to be the senior pastor here, lead pastor at North Rock, I began to ask the Lord, what is this church to be known for? What are we going to be about? What is it that we've already done? We talked about our heritage. We talked about our history. But what's the next season look like? And to be honest with you, one of the things that I didn't like when I showed up was our logo. Okay? And I hope you're not the person that created it because it's not my favorite. And it might change at some point. No, it's not going to change. And this is why it's not going to change. I didn't like the Leafs. Simply because I got two brown thumbs instead of two green thumbs. I don't know if any of you others suffer from that, but I can literally look at a plant and watch it die. And I try to take care of my lawn, and it dies. And so it's just, you know, anything leafy or flowery, it's just, you know, I just don't get it. And so that's why I said, Lord, I don't get it. What are those leaves on the North Rock? I mean, I understand all roads lead north, right? That you are the rock of our salvation. I get that. But what are these leaves about, right? And the Lord began to kind of talk to me about that. That is the fruitfulness. That is the supernatural focus of this church. And this is it. When we see that logo right there, I want to be known. I want us to know each other by, and the people in our community to know us as a church that lives out a life of love out loud, lives out a life of worship out loud, and lives out a life of service out of that love. Does that make sense to you guys? Then when I look at that, that's what I think about. Lord, you've called us to be a people that worship you with everything that we have so that when I watch the Broncos, I don't have to worry about it being an idol because I can yell for them because I've already poured out my praise to you. Right? I've already poured out my praise to you. My allegiance is to you. Now let's go watch some football. Not yet. We're not done yet. Lock the doors. Close it down. Don't let anybody out. We're not done yet, okay? But that's what I believe that we're called to be, and that's what the church is, by definition from the scriptures, to be about. Helping people learn how to live out habits of worship, love, and service, okay? So today we're going to talk about service. And there's kind of this, a supernatural thing that happens in us when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, when we yield to the authority of the scriptures, when we really get down to the nitty-gritty tissue of what the church is designed to do, the substance of who we are, and not just the style, right? Style hits us quickly. Substance has to be developed in us. I want us to be a people of substance in those three areas, okay? And when we get down to it, that is what the church is designed to do. And when it's serving, here we're going to talk about four things today that will help us serve better, okay? And when there's when I say there's a supernatural occurrence in our life, do you know that when we pour out praise to the Lord, we empty of ourselves, of our own things, our own issues? How many of you guys got issues this morning? Don't raise your hand. I love you guys. Raise your hands. Let's raise our hands. That's it. I got two hands up. I got issues. God's still working on me, under construction, right? Nobody's got it all figured out. That's what that religious spirit is, right? It's one that says, oh, I've got this now. No, God is developing us into his likeness from day to day to day until his return, right? We're created to grow. That's what I like about those natural leaves, is that there's life in them, right? Dead leaves, alive leaves, right? Okay, so the supernatural occurrence that I'm talking about is as we pour that out, God refills us with his spirit, with his love, with his resource, right? That's how this thing works. It's a transaction of sorts. Because Jesus is in our life, we can go to the Father and he pours out into us. And how many of you guys believe with me today that we have a generous God? Amen. I'm talking generous, right? Generous, generous. And that's what we're going to talk about, is a parable that Jesus taught when he talked about how we can serve better, okay? So there's four things that we're going to do. But I wanted to start with a promise that I feel like God's given us for this church. And it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. For those of you that have the Bible memorized, you don't have to look it up. But if you are like me and need a Bible still, because it's not all photo memory, and I don't know if it's up here or not, but I'm going to say it to you anyway, okay? It says, from him, Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You guys catch the promise in that? Do you know that the only organization that is promised to succeed through eternity is God's church? Think about that for a minute. That when we're the whole body connected to Christ, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, right? That's us, that's we, that's this, right? It grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay? So again, that's the promise. And that's what I'm excited about today, is because we are not going to fail at what God calls us to do. We're just not going to. It's his promise. And when we live a life that reflects God, he blesses and builds and grows. Amen? So you guys believing with me for that? You guys praying with me for that? Because I'm telling you, I am thankful for what God's done in this church in 25 years, but I am also not settling down. I'm not going to put up a little tent and say, okay, God, this is as far as we go, right? How many of you guys know he wants us to reach all? All. Is all here today? Is all reached around the world today? No, all is not done. That means it's ongoing, it's continue. And again, this isn't just some pastor's idea. This is out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. It's the verse that we're talking about today, that when we take a life of worship and a life of love and we intersect that with the purpose of why God designed the church, which is there to go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, therefore, and every time we see a therefore, we have to ask what it's there for, right? Come on, give me one little corny preacher line. Just making sure you guys hear me before I tell you what I really want to tell you, okay? Therefore, go. Does everybody say go?
Go.
And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're designed to do. And when we live lives that serve people well, we reflect our Father's pattern of life, right? We reflect Jesus to people that, quite honestly, may never step foot in this church. They may not. Every one of us has that circle of influence of people that you tell them, I'm going to church, and they go, what? No. What? Right? We all have those. We all have influence. And as we live out this life that God's called us to, God uses us to be ambassadors. He uses us to influence people to know who He is. And the way that we grow in being a serving people is that we remain with an outward focus, right? How many of you guys know that the church is the only institution in the world that doesn't exist for itself, but that we exist for those who have yet to sign a membership card? We exist for those who have yet to hear the word. And that's why, as a church, we send people to church to plant churches. That's why we send people like Tiffany Mares, who is amazing, to Honduras, right? Getting ready to send out another missionary church. We're going to support her well, and we're going to have a great time seeing all that God does through her life in Honduras. And I'm telling you, she is excited, and we are excited to be a part of that, right? So again, why do we serve? To show love, okay? Now, how many of you guys know that it's easy to address a situation of hypocrisy if we can show action that goes with the words that we speak, right? And that's what we're talking about today, is that service really is the outworking of the love that we say that we have, because Jesus gives it to us because He's our Father and He loves everybody. In fact, the Bible's very clear. It says, if we represent God, God is, go ahead and answer it for me. Great, faithful, that's not the one. Great, faithful, good. I like that one too. That's not it. God is love. Right? And therefore, when people look at us, they should see a loving people, right? One of my favorite things about being a father is to see my kids reflect some of my behaviors. Even the bad ones. I mean, if I'm honest, my little 5-year-old now, when she was 4, was with us at our 9-year-old's track meet. And I mean, we're up in Fort Collins, and there's all kinds of kids running around. They're doing all kinds of track events. And she stands up and she looks her mother dead in the eye and said, Mama, I can beat all of them. All of them. Faster than every one of them. And we just kind of looked at her and went, she gets that from you, babe. No, she gets that from me. That's one of those areas that I have to submit to the Lord, because I'm an ultra competitive person. That's just how I roll, right? Always setting goals, always going after things, always doing that stuff. But when I see my behavior in my children, it makes me smile. Do you guys know that when we live a life of worship, when we practice these habits, it makes God smile? Do you know that as you sit here today, He's pleased with you? That He loves you? And that He's glad that you chose, before we go cheer on the Broncos, to come cheer on Him and His work in this world. Amen? Amen. That's what we're doing today. Right? That's a good way to think about church. Okay, we show up to cheer on what God's doing in this world, okay? So, again, one of the habits of a church is outward focus. And can I tell you, I couldn't be more pleased, more proud of the way this church serves. I mean, I keep hearing about people that serve as chaplains outside of this church. I keep hearing about people that have ministries outside of this church. I see people serving down at the Denver Rescue Mission from this church. I see us doing Laundry Love, which, by the way, I think we got a new calling card for. Have you guys ever thought of it? It's like mini slots machines for God, right? Isn't that how Elijah described that? I mean, we got a ton of people wasting bank up in Blackhawk. We can go put those things in washing machines and help people that need help in this season, right? And so he said, all you got to do is be able to put a quarter in the slot. And, you know, as he said that, it made me think, you know, really, that's what service is. Service is giving away the vast inheritance of what God's done in us, for us, and through us, one quarter at a time. And it's just saying, man, I'm going to meet that need. Man, I'm going to give that person a smile, even though they're mean mugging me. Don, quit mean mugging me. It's saying, I'm going to go out of my way to make a way to connect with somebody who needs connected with. How many of you guys know that in the most connected society ever, there are so many lonely people right now? They can have 100 friends on Facebook, but not one that they could call if they have a need, right? That's why we talked about living a life of love. We had to be a community that makes room for others in our lives, right? But we're not talking about that today. We're not even talking about that piece that I just told you. we're talking about habits that help us serve better, right? So another part that makes up a healthy church in the area of service is having wise administration and accountability. How many of you guys would say that's an important part of a church? We don't talk about it much, but how many of you guys want the things that we invest in God's mission to be used for God's mission in this world? Okay, can I tell you that we have a great church council here, a group of men and women who help us steward and oversee and make decisions about how we go forward with God's mission in this church. There's a group of about seven or eight people. We're going to be adding a few more. We're going to be cycling off a few more at the beginning of the year. But people that just have wisdom in how to do the kind of organizational disciplines and the business disciplines of a church, right? Do you guys believe that's important? Man, it is. It is. And I'm grateful that we have those people because I don't always know what to do. I know that surprises you. But I don't always know what to do. I don't always know what the highest priority is. And again, we seek the wisdom of God in a collective group, right? I'm also thankful that we have accountability in our church family, right? That through Foursquare, through Pastor Sam as our district supervisor, that he provides accountability and wisdom and administration that keeps us on track with really being good stewards of God's money, okay? And our mission, okay? So I hope that's important to you. I know it's not the most sexy thing to talk about, but it's important, isn't it? Turn to somebody and say, this is important, whatever he's saying, because I'm not listening anymore, right? That's a habit we're committed to at North Rock, is we're going to be accountable for what God gives us, and we are going to invest it in the kingdom's purposes in this world. I can promise you that. I can promise you that, okay? Healthy habit number nine, or the third one that we're talking about today, is networking within the body of Christ, okay? We're a part of the larger body of Christ. It takes all kinds of shapes, sizes, backgrounds, denominational affiliation, focuses of ministry to reach all, right? And that's what we just heard. Go and make disciples. And as you go, that's really what that text means. It's not just go once. It's not just go twice. It's not just go for 5 or 10 or 15 years. It's go and keep on going. And as you go, keep going and make disciples along the way. That really, that's what we're designed to do. That's in our kind of kinetic spiritual energy, that we'd go and make disciples. In fact, I believe sitting in this room, we have some of the best disciplers that no one knows about at this point. Think about that. If we're a church on mission, going, serving, and making disciples along the way, we never know what's going to be the full-grown outcome of somebody that we invest in their lives. You guys believe that? So I could stand up here and tell you story after story after story after story of lives that have been changed through this church over the last 25 years. Some of them are out on the mission field. Some of them just left to go plant another church for us. Some have gone out in seasons before. Some of them are finishing up internships at different Bible colleges. Some of them serve here today in the Echo program. But God plans to help us network so we can reach all by using collaboration, resource sharing, learning opportunities, and united celebrations for worship. Okay? Amen? You guys will never hear me stand on in this pulpit, in this platform, and say, we're the only way. Right? Our church does it better than everybody else. Right? You'll never hear me say that because there are a lot of good churches, a lot of good pastors, a lot of good things going on in this world, and we should support all of them. Okay? So healthy habit number 10, and really this is it. Okay? I'm excited now. Wasn't excited before, now I'm excited. We're going to land this plane, okay? We're talking about healthy habit number 10, and that is stewardship and generosity, okay? Healthy church teaches its members, okay, that they are stewards of God's given resources and challenges them to be sacrificially generous in sharing with others, okay? That's my job. That part of my role as the lead pastor here is to teach us biblical stewardship principles. We're okay with that. And to challenge us to respond to God's leading in our lives as we live generous lives. Okay, why is that important? Why is it important that we talk about issues like money in church? Oh, real quiet all of a sudden. It's crazy how you bring up that one word and it's like,
he said it. He said money.
Okay, you guys believe that a healthy family can talk about issues like money in a healthy way? That's my hope for this church, is that we're able to talk about where we're at, where we're going, what we're trying to do. Because part of my value is that we keep people informed about how what you share and give away so generously in this church goes to see the furthering of the gospel, okay? So we're going to talk about stewardship and generosity, but not just in the sense of money. But we're going to use a parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and we are going to be out of here after that, okay? So how many of you guys are excited to be challenged this morning? Yeah, woo. Three of us? All right, that's good. Glad there's three of us, okay? So here's I think, something that's going to help us move past some of the issues, okay? So one of the criticisms of the church is that we're a bunch of hypocrites, right? We don't do what we say. We don't really reflect God's love. The other one is that the church is only after your money, right? How many of you guys know that that's not the case here at North Rock? One, that's good. Two of us, good. Because it's not. It's not. But we do think it's important that we recognize that God talked about money a lot. Scriptures say a lot about how we handle money, how we rightly steward the resources that God entrusts us with, okay? And one of the ways he talked to us about it is in this verse of, or this parable of the bags of gold. And this is how it reads. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey, and the man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more." Okay, so also, the one with two bags of gold gained two more. "But the man who had received only one bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them." Okay, put your finger there. "The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Said, 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with the five bags of gold. Here I have gained five more.'" Okay? His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How many of you guys aspire to hear that when we stand before the Lord? Man, I want to hear that. "The man with two bags of gold also came and said, 'Master, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more.' And his master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness.' Then the man who received one bag of gold came. He said, 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you were a hard man, that you harvested where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.'" Okay, so he didn't go out and frivolously spend it, right? He didn't just go party with it. He put it in the ground and buried it. Verse 28 kind of brings us home. It says, "So take that bag of gold." Wait a minute, sorry. Verse 26, I'm getting ahead of you guys. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance." Everybody say abundance. "Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." How many of you guys know that the scriptures have some challenging things in them, right? That I want to think of just happy, sweet, float around Jesus, right? The guy you see in the paintings. Oh, there's some challenging stuff in this. Wow, what a reaction. And to me, there's four things that we can pull out of this morning that'll help us reflect God's generosity in the world a little bit more. One of them is just simply this, okay? The master didn't distribute his riches evenly. Okay? Have we all learned at this point that not everybody gets the same portion in life? And so it's dangerous for us to worry about what that person is doing or what this person is doing, but rather our job is to steward what God's given us, right? And it says that the master didn't distribute it evenly. He gave according to what? What did it say in the story? According to ability, right? Not according to their giftedness, not according to their education, not according to their amazing charismatic personality, right? He gave according to their ability to steward and manage that which is his, right? You guys understand that it's impossible for us to be a generous people without understanding that everything that we get comes from the Lord, right? Every good gift comes from God. Every good gift. Every good gift. So whether it's one or two or five, it's all from him. It's all from him. And he expects us to do something with it, okay? Now here's something that was kind of a breakthrough for me. You guys may already understand this stuff, but for me when I read this, I read it a little bit differently. I grew up in a kind of a poverty situation, okay? And I've struggled with a poverty mentality of not having enough, always worrying about running out. And so I lived a lot of my young life like the person that received that one talent. I've got it, I'm putting it away, I'm gonna hide it away. I'm gonna go put it, you know, bury it in the ground, I'm gonna hide it somewhere, okay? That's just me, you know, being vulnerable with you, saying, I understand that this world costs a lot. It is hard to earn and live in this world, amen? It is. But when I remember that it's not about what I have, it's about who he is, I get a breakthrough, okay? And when it comes to this issue of one, five or two or one, here's something that really helped me out, is we're not talking about chump change here. I mean, this master in the story, it wasn't just, you know, here's how I used to read it. Okay, here's your penny. Jeannie, there you go. There's your penny. Here's your nickel. Oh, and here's your dime, okay? That's not the kind of owner that we're talking about here. That's not the owner of the field. That's not our Father. Father in heaven, we said at the beginning of service, is what? Generous. And he has abounding resources. And he says, when we steward those resources, what was the promise that we had, guys? What was the promise? What did it say? Abundance and authority and responsibility. Absolutely. Good catch. I'm going to put that in my notes. I'm going to pretend like I thought that up, all right? Let me write that down. That's good stuff. I like interacting with you guys. Okay, so again, it's not ours, it's his, okay? Number two, the master, I wanted to finish my thought on that. The scholars, the people that do nothing but read the Bible and argue about what each passage and each word and each letter, you know, means, those guys, the ones that write the concordances and the Bible kind of background books that we use as pastors, they determined that one talent, just one of those, was about 20 years of daily wages. Just one. So when our landowner, part of it, you got to get that perspective on God, right? I mean, he's not cheap. He's not broke. He's not afraid to entrust to us as we steward his resources well. And he came to his three servants and he said, boom! Right? Now tell me, 20 years, that's a pretty good little inheritance, right? 20 years of daily wages, come on! That's good stuff. That's just one talent, but some of them got two, some of them got five. Let me ask you this, when that person that got the one, if he would have been the only guy in the story, show me what his smile would have looked like. What? Yes. But you know that in this world, there's a spirit that tries to get us looking at other people's talents. Tries to get us looking at, well, they have that much, but I only have one. Lord, why do I only get one? And he gets two? Five? Come on, man, that isn't right. One of the keys to being a generous steward of God's resources is to get your eyes on him and not on the other people in your life. To recognize that God blesses and expects us to manage according to our ability to steward and manage his generosity in our life. But in order to manage that stuff, we got to see it first, church. We got to see him as the one who blesses. When we bless, right? He's not a slot machine. I know that's kind of a topic around here today, right? It's just that pull a lever, bing, 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 bing. But as we live a life of praise and worship and love, he pours out resources into our lives that the Bible says we won't be able to contain. And that's when the church has revival, when that's overflowing out of our lives so much that we're saying, God, you have given me more than enough, and I am going to continue to pour out my life to reach more people for you. That's what we're designed to do. That is the Master's image. That is the story of God incarnate coming to live as a servant so that we would respond to that grace message. Amen? So Master did give everyone something. So again, we can't just say, well, I'm not in that story because I haven't been given anything. We've been given stuff. Okay, number three, there was an expectation to invest wisely and to multiply what was received, right? There was that expectation in the story. And the fourth one is just this little piece that keeps us being faithful to remember that we don't call the shots. I don't call the shots. You don't call the shots. God calls the shots. We are His children. This is His life. This is His church. And the resources that He entrusts to us are His resources. That one day, and I know this is the least favorite message ever in the church, right? But our Savior will return. And He will come in all of His glory and splendor, and He will receive His church unto Him. That's why I said earlier, the church is the only institution, I hope you catch that, that is destined not to fail, not to fold, not to claim bankruptcy, but to thrive and to prosper as we live out the habits of who He says we are. Amen? Let me ask you this. If all the church is about is the smoke and the whistles and the music and the style, and we don't get into the substance of these things and go and make disciples, we could fail, right? But we're going to be a church that's about those three leaves. You with me? Are we going to live a life out loud of worship? Live a life of love out loud, right? And live a life of service out loud. Okay, that's really the issue of what stewardship is. Two of them. One, we have to answer for ourselves individually, where does our help come from, right? Have we talked about that already? We haven't? Okay, good. Sometimes I get, I've done three of these, so sometimes I think I've said something that I haven't said. Where does our help come from? Sean, if you can come forward, we're going to close the service out with this point. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I lift up my eyes. Everybody look up. Lift up your eyes, if you would. Do me that favor. Look up. Can I tell you it's hard to live a generous life if I'm always looking at this? Bills, mortgages, stuff, challenges. When I lift up my eyes to the mountain, I say, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So my prayer for you today, as it is my prayer for me today, is that we would recognize that we have a rich Father in heaven who cares deeply about where we are today, who cares deeply about our one or two or five talent lives. He loves us, church. And when we recognize that He's all-powerful, all-able, and not restricted, and we really entrust our lives to Him, He pours out His blessing. And we get to hear in response, well done, good and faithful church. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let me tell you about all the lives that came into the kingdom because you sacrificially gave, because you served and you love people. Can we just take a couple of minutes here? I'm going to get you out on time for the Broncos, I promise. But can we just take a couple of minutes here and allow the Lord to minister to us? And as we do that, I would just like to ask us to seek the Lord on it. How we might be more like Him in the areas of generosity and stewardship, okay? And as we just continue in this kind of attitude of worship and prayer, maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, I've never heard a message quite like that I have a generous Father in heaven who loves me and who showed that He loves me by sending His Son to pay for my sin so that I could have life. That He showed His true character by giving His only begotten Son to pay for the things that we do wrong so that we can live in unity with Him. That's you here today. Would you just raise your hand? By doing so, you're just acknowledging, saying, God's doing something in my heart today, and I take that seriously. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see that. Yes. Thank you, Lord. God bless you guys. Thank you, Lord. Hands all over the place this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're just wrestling with this whole idea of a generous God. Because we've struggled and there is strife and there is challenges in this world. Lord, I just pray that you'd encourage hearts all over this place today. Lord, I pray that you'd meet every single need in this church. Lord, I pray that you'd meet every emotional, spiritual, especially spiritual, Lord, but I pray that you'd meet every emotional, every financial, every need that's represented here. Lord, I pray for work, that those are working for work. Lord, knowing that you bless us as we remain faithful to steward what you've called us to steward. Father, give us revelation in that. And Lord, I pray prophetically over this group that we would be known for our love. We'd be known for our worship. And we would be known as a generous, generous church. And when people come to North Rock, they know that there is resource in the house to help and show love as we speak of the greatest love ever. I don't know about you, but for me, most days, I can feel like I got one talent. Just got that one talent. Can I challenge us, not you, us, to not bury it in the ground, but to trust that our God is a generous God, and that as we invest our lives, our resources, our attention, our time, our energy in other people's lives, that God has more than enough to meet our needs. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would release resource in this church. Father, you would meet every need. Lord, that you'd bless businesses. Lord, that you'd bless employment. Lord, we would see promotions coming that we didn't even know we had. Because we came to you, we submitted ourselves to you. We placed ourselves under your authority as our Father and said, God, it's yours, not mine. Would you guys, just as an act of just symbolic obedience, would you just take your hands out in front of you if you feel comfortable doing this? And what we're doing is we're just simply, like you're holding a sack of potatoes, saying, God, everything I have is yours. Do with it as you will, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we claim the promises from your word for that, that you will bless us, that we will have abundance in the house once again, and we will see your kingdom purposes extended in this world, and everyone will be cared for in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.